Welcome to Six Again, your go-to rugby league podcast with hosts Adam Hoy and Jared Newton. Let's kick off.
Okay, welcome into a special representative round preview show of the Six Again podcast. Yes, this is not my normal voice if you are new to the show. It's actually better than last night. We were meant to record last night, but I had even less voice then. So we postponed it to tonight. And Wally's here with me. How you doing, buddy?
Yeah, better than you by the sounds of it.
Fuck it. I sound like a chipmunk. And our recording platform actually has chipmunk settings. So
it's not very often that people would rather hear my voice than someone else's. So yeah, unlucky, mate. It sounds like you had my weekend. Like, you need to stop going out, getting on the piss every Saturday night and hit the dance floors.
Oh, man. If my voice sounds like this after something like that, I've definitely caught something. But I think this is just a mixture of kids bringing home something from kindy mixed with prep. Actually, no, I can't even be Annabelle. My daughter hasn't been at kindy all week. She's been worse than me. And, I saw something I didn't think I'd ever see this morning. She slept the second half. Oh, graphic warning for anyone. This is from a four-year-old daughter. She woke up this morning. She was just looking at me going, I was like, oh, no, she's going to vomit. So I grabbed a couple of tissues. And then you know how when we get all phlegmed up, we can, like suck up and just spit out a golly? She just went, and just coughed one out. took up half a tissue. And it was just all phlegm. And I was like, so that's what it looks like when a kid does it. So they can't do it on purpose. She had no idea what was going on. She's like, I got none left. That's great, man. I was just like, wow. Good on you, kids. So that's been my life. I've got one day left for holidays. And I always get sick before holidays. That's just what happens. So I was really looking forward to this. I still am looking forward to this round. And that's pretty much what this whole show is about. So the first half, it's going to be looking at all the international tests, the women's, the under-19 state of origin. And second part of the show, we'll look at Origin 2 for the men, which will be over in Perth. So kicking off rep round on Thursday night, we had Lebanon versus Malta. And unfortunately, this one wasn't advertised with the same billing as, the other international tests. And I didn't even know it was on. Honestly, until I switched on KO Wednesday night, and there it was. I went, oh, okay, we started the night earlier, but anyway, Lebanon got the win. I think, what'd you say?
30-14.
30-14. That makes it four in a row for Lebanon over Malta. And that was out at Belmore. I can't really give you a rundown of that one. I didn't watch much of it, outside of the fact that Jared Samet was playing for Lebanon, was
for Malta. No, he's for Malta. Yeah.
Reece Robinson was playing for Lebanon.
I think they had, was it Lebanon? No, sorry. I was thinking Cook Islands have got like three or four sets of brothers playing in the squad. So there's always a couple.
Cook Island or Fiji?
It's Cook Islands.
Okay.
Yeah, but there's no real surprises there. You'd expect Lebanon to run away with that one. But yeah, I was exactly the same as you. I got home like after 9:30 last night and just chucked on Instagram, and then all of a sudden I'm seeing these updates about a rugby league game, and I'm like, is this like an under-19s game that I'm not aware of? Or yeah, I don't understand that, but you know.
I guess they
got to stand by night.
Really. Yeah, they got to stand by night. And I think that's what's been done really well for this weekend. So then tonight, Thursday night, and this is really why we wanted to record Wednesday night, so we could preview these two shows, these two games. We've got the under-19s state of origin. We're currently at halftime in the under-19 men's game. The under-19 women's game was a tight contest pretty much to the last 10 minutes or so. New South Wales ran away with it in the end, but I thought that Queensland probably had the better of play, especially in the second half, but they just didn't take their opportunities, and they just made too many mistakes passing the ball over the sideline, knocking on the third or fourth tackle before getting to the last. And it almost always happened within the New South Wales 20 or 30 metres. So they got themselves in good positions and then just made basic errors. And anytime New South Wales had the ball at Queensland end, which wasn't as often, they made the most of it with Andy Robinson, the centre, finishing with a hat trick, and Jada Taylor, the fullback, finishing with a double and scoring what is going to take a lot of beating, will probably be the State of Origin try this year.
Absolutely.
Did you see that one taking the, it was a good kick.
Yeah.
Jada Ferguson, 5'8". Yeah. It was a really good kick at the end of the set by Jada Ferguson. The Broncos 5'8". Grubbed it into the in goal. Jada Taylor picked it up, turned around to face her own dead ball, ran it out, and then, yeah, like Jared said, Wall said, ran 108 metres to score up the other end and finish the game off in New South Wales. Yeah. It ended up, what, 5-1, I believe, and they only kicked 1 out of 4 conversions. Yeah, so make it 22-6. So I thought, obviously, Andy Robinson was very strong for the women, 3 tries, but I just want to get a name right here. Lasana Lutu, the 5'8 for New South Wales. Watch this girl. Built perfectly for a running 5'8. She made a couple of mistakes in the second half, but her footwork, her strength in the first half, she was a handful for the Queensland girls. And Hannah Larson for Queensland had a really strong game out on the edge. When she went off is kind of when New South Wales got on top in the second half. So win there for New South Wales. And at halftime in the men's game, Queensland were talked up a little bit in this, but they're down 24-4 at halftime. The kids that are in this one, for New South Wales, Paul Alamoti, very highly rated in the Bulldogs system. Trey Mooney, obviously, has already had NRL experience. And Jonah Pezze, is in the Melbourne Storm system. So some key ones to look out for there if you're going to watch the replay of the game.
There's also Jack Bostock, I think his name is. Yeah, he's in the Dragon system, but he's just signed with Redcliffe for next year. So yeah, plenty of good young talent in the New South Wales team. And then you've a couple of good Queenslanders as well. There's that Jack Howarth in the Melbourne system, who's got big raps on him as well. Obviously, he's the one that had the big was contract negotiations were pretty well played out in the media. So generally, if Melbourne fight hard to keep someone, they're worth keeping.
Yeah, he's playing on the back row. You got Tom Duffy, who we spoke to Ben Jeffries earlier this year, the Cowboys development officer, who's also the coach for the Queensland women's team, under-19s team. He's very highly rated halfback in their system. So look out for his game management. And then you've got Jojo Fifita, who's been the Titans' 18th man, I think, in the last round. So he'll definitely get a run at some point. And Blake Moser, the dummy half, signed a multi-year deal with Brisbane not that long ago. And then Isaiah Iongi out of Penrith system playing fullback for Queensland. So a bit of a surprising scoreline, to be honest, at halftime after Queensland scored first. So we won't get to watch the second half of that while we're recording. So, but we should have the final score at the end. So it's going to kind of play spoilers for us. All right. I'm just going to have to hit mute for a second. Wal, do you want to introduce the women's game and when that's on?
Sure. I don't have it up in front of me, but the women's origin will be tomorrow night, New South Wales versus Queensland. And as I'm watching Adam in pain right now, coughing and spluttering away.
That wasn't fun.
Have you got the team list up in front of you, Adam?
I do, yeah. So tomorrow night, yeah, as in, it'll be tonight, I guess, when you listen to this, 7:45 local time in Canberra. This will be the 5th of the Women's State of Origins, the first one that hasn't been played on the Sunshine Coast. And this will be the 5th Origin game for the women. It's currently 2-2. New South Wales winning the first two games in 18-19, and then Queensland winning the two games in 20-21. And all been very tight games. So I think the biggest margin of defeat has been 10, which was New South Wales 14, Queensland 4 in 2019. So it has been very close. And this is the last year where it'll be a one-off game. Next year it moves to a two-game series. They're still pushing for three, I believe, but definitely two games. I said all four games are at Sunshine Coast, didn't I? No, the first 2 years were at North Sydney Oval, I should have said. There's the last two, sorry. So the player of the match receives the Nellie Doherty Medal, and she was a former player and pioneer for New South Wales, and 1921 helped launch Women's Rugby League in Australia. So that's just where the background for that comes from. Previous winners of that award, Tasman Gray, Taryn Aitken, Maddie Sutton, Isabel Kelly, all household names. So for the New South Wales squad, if I bring that one up, I've got so many different bloody tabs open at the moment. There we go. Just got to get the right one because there's games going on left, right and centre. So Emma Tonegado at fullback. So this will be her debut for New South Wales Blues. Surges and Kelly in the centres. So it's the Roosters hooking up there. Dib and Pearson. So Rachel Pearson, Wallaby Stoke there. Very solid year for the Dragons and rewarded with a Blues jersey. Keely Davis, dummy half in between Tafua and Boyle. It's going to be scary up front for Queensland to try and stop. Apps and Bent and Southwell forming a very formidable back row there. Quincy Dodd coming off the bench, as well as Caitlin Johnson and Sarah Togatuki. So that is going to be a handful to deal with that team. If there is injuries late, you've got Corbin Baxter, so the Roosters fullback, Sam Bremner on the bench, along with Tegan Berry. So we talked, a month or so ago about who's going to play fullback for Australia at the World Cup. It looks as like Tonegado is getting the pick over Corbin Baxter here in New South Wales anyway. Yep.
It's a very highly contested position, isn't it? Like you look at Queensland, you got Tamika Upton, you got Vete Walsh has gone down injured. So there's so many options there. It's good to see the Dragons get rewarded, mate. You know, like I think we got six players in the starting 17 and then two more in the extended squad. So it's just going to be a bit of a tough one for me to watch because obviously I want Queensland to win, but got all my girls are there, mate. So that's a strong team on paper. Like you said yourself, that pack is just monstrous. They got Strike on the edges and Kelly and Sergis and two very smart hookers in Keely Davis and Quincy Dodd.
100%.
Yeah, it's yeah.
It's always when you're on, eh? I don't ever say it with Jared. It's probably because we disagree on points and Jared. Yeah, Jared.
You usually say 100% disagree with Jared.
Far out. Oh, there we go. There we go. I've just said all that and then we get the late mail in that, Corbin Baxter is out. We did the start in the halves along. Okay, that's why she's on that reserves. So let's have a look. Olivia Koenig, Caitlin Johnson will make their debuts. Let's have a look. Any other news here that we've missed? No, let's jump over to the Queensland side here, and I said Tamika Upton at fullback with Emily Bass and Julia Robinson on the wings, Avenia Polite and Sia Loka in the centres. The Broncos halves pairing, Taryn Aitken, Ali Brinshaw stay together. Lena Doozy, first time she'll be up against her now former teammate Emily Boyle. Brayley Nartey at dummy half with Marto up front. Their back row, Tasman Gray, Destiny Brill, and Talisha Harden. Still a very strong back three there in the scrum. Lauren Brown, Ellison, Stephanie Hancock, a 40-year-old. It's an interchange position. And Rastran Smith fills out the interchange there. You got Romy Tietzel, Karina Brown, Zahara Tamara, Keely Joseph, and Sarah Sotia in the reserves there. So looking at
pretty good names missing the cut.
Yes, there is. And you'd say that the Queensland girls there must have impressed during not just camp, but also in the Queensland Cup. That was taken out by the Gold Stars beating the Capras. So that definitely came into consideration. That was the same in the under-19s as well. With regards to women making their debut, Avania Polite and Emily Bass. So they're both former Rugby Sevens players. Having a look if there's anyone else. Titans have 9 players represented. Brisbane have 8. Roosters and Knights, 3 and 2. And, yeah, there we go. Samara, let's have a look. Karina Brown's missing Origin for the first time since 2015. And so, yeah, they made mention of that as well. So Queensland kind of turning the page a little bit here, giving some youngsters a bit more of an opportunity. Looking on paper, New South Wales, to me, would have the edge. But any team that's got Upton, Aiken and Brigginshaw in it, you can't take lightly. I think New South Wales will have too much strike out wide. But if you've watched the women's games the last couple of years, the Queensland girls definitely do not take a backward step. So this should be a cracking game on Friday night.
Yeah, I think the explosiveness of the New South Wales team can be minimised by the experience of the spine of Queensland. I think that's where they can, if they can control where New South Wales are getting the ball and play out of their end, it's going to really affect New South Wales. Just having Brigginshaw, Upton and Aiken, you know, like they've been around for a while. And they've got that continuity of playing together at Clubland as well, which is massive. So I think it'll play out very similarly to maybe last year's series in the men's. You know, like New South Wales got that explosive that can just tear you apart, and then Queensland just, they got the toilers. They're just going to play very simple, try to control and win in an arm wrestle, essentially. So I think it'll be physical. Looking at those two forward packs, there's no way that it's not going to be physical.
Oh, man. Millie Boyle, first time she or Lena Doozy get the ball, they're running straight at each other. They'd have to. They've played together for however many seasons. First time they get to crack in. It's going to happen. All right. We're jumping over to the international test matches now. So there's 4 of them on Saturday, kicking off with the Kiwi Ferns taking on the Ma'a Tonga women's team. So you got Amy Turner and Paige McGregor will make their Kiwi debut in the centres, with Roxy Murdoch from the Broncos also debuting in the back row. Racine McGregor we joined by Albert Jones in the halves. Crystal Roeder will captain the side from dummy half, and will split time with Nida Maynard, who is there on the bench. So the rest of the Kiwi team, names people may be familiar with, Maddie Bartlett on the wing. Let's have a look. Georgia Hale there at lock. Nuasala Hilmoana as the two props. And on the bench there, Charlotte Scanlon as well. For Tonga, just have a look for some of the... Oh, Katrina Latu there at lock as well. Shannon Muru on the edge. Maybe names that people would remember from NRLW. So it's Talad Tuki will captain the side from fullback. Broncos outside back, China Pallada sliding in at 5'8". Oh, I didn't even see Tegan Dimmick. There she is. She'll lead the forward pack after re-announcing her re-signing with the Dragons this week. And, yeah, I said Shannon Muru, one to watch in the back row there. Very young side here for the Kiwis, and this will be the first of a double header at Mount Smart Stadium, as this will be followed by the Kiwi men versus the Tonga men, in which will probably be, well, it'll be the match of the international fixtures. You can pretty much pencil that in. But with a women's game here, to me, this actually shapes up similar to the Origin of the Friday night, where to me, Kiwis are like New South Wales and Tonga are like Queensland. With the players that they've selected, the ones that I know that they've selected, I don't know enough of the Tongan players to really give a proper analysis on how they'll play, though.
Yeah, you sort of got to, in these instances, you back what you know. And there's some exciting players in that Kiwi team, as I'm sure there are with a lot of the Tongans as well. But for me, I know my Dragons girls are in the Kiwis team, mate. You got the left edge connection of Maddie Bartlett and Paige McGregor. I think they'll probably be too good, too classy for the Tongans, but I could be wrong.
And I'm just having a look at that. Just the time wise, yeah. So 1:10 Australian time, I believe, for that one, and the men's game kicks off at 3:20 Australian time. So I'm sure you've all seen the stat by now. First ever New Zealand team selected with no Warriors players in the 17. Dale Mateni Zalesniak's in the reserves, but yeah, considering the Warriors play out of New Zealand, well, are a New Zealand team, sorry, haven't played in New Zealand for quite a while. Although their first home game did sell out, second time they've had a sellout in their history. Sorry, second fastest sellout in their history. That kind of goes to show the state of the Warriors as a club, that not one player was selected. And that includes Tohu Harris.
It's the same with Queensland, right? Like last year, there were, like, what, the Titans were the only team that were half respectable, with Broncos and Cowboys being down bottom four. And they resorted to picking players for clubs that weren't based in Queensland. And you look at this year, Queensland, all Queensland teams by the Titans are going through the roof, and they make up the majority of the squad. So it's funny to see how it goes in ebbs and flows. And these days, it's probably not as big a deal because so many players move around, right? But it's funny how it does seem to happen. And then whether it's coincidental or not, but maybe it's just the continuity of the players because they are so familiar with each other at Clubland. They can take that into the state or into their international teams. But yeah, in saying that though, obviously you'll read the New Zealand team out very shortly, but it's a pretty bloody strong New Zealand team. I don't know where you're finding room for any Warriors players in that.
Well, Tori Harris was the one kind of like, I know he's come back from injury this year and he hasn't been at his best, but he's definitely a leader. Has been a leader in the past for New Zealand. And I guess the good news story of this one is Tamari Mata making his way all the way back from injury to Clubland NRL level, and then included in the New Zealand squad. So being recognised for his play this year, it's like the fairy tale just continues on for him. Four debutants in the squad with Moses Leota, Dylan Brown, Murata Niokore, and Renato Mulitalo. So after his controversy with Queensland selection, was that only last year? The year before? I can't even remember.
Last year.
So takes his place in a very, it looks to be a very high scoring and lethal back line if they can gel. So Joey Manu shifting to fullback to allow for Murata Niokore to take the centre position. Now that's, you can see it working. Niokore's played centre at Clubland and done quite well. Taking Manu out of his favoured position, but every time he goes to fullback, he plays pretty damn well as well. So that's just the freak that he is. Hiku and Nukori and centers, Mulatalo and Rapana, two big bodies, two that can find the line with ease out on the edge. Tylan Brown, Jerome Hughes look to be a halves combination they'll build on moving forward. Fisher Harris, Bromwich up front with Brandon Smith at dummy half. Fapali and Bromwich on the edges with Joseph Tarpany at lock. Kieran Foran on the bench in the 14. Yes, finally, let's see what that looks like. With Moses Leota, Brighton Nicora, and Nelson Asofa Solomona. So a big and talented bench there for New Zealand.
I reckon that's as strong a New Zealand team as they've picked since almost back to when Benji was back in his prime. That's a team that's in form in every position that's been picked there pretty much. The only questionable decision, I guess, is Niokore playing centre. Mm. But I don't think they're blessed with outside back options at the moment, unless they moved Manu to centre and played someone like Tamari Martin at the back. But I think they're more threatening with Manu at the back.
Yes, and it's nice to see they have not gone for a partner at fullback. And he's a winger. Just keep him on the wing.
He's one of those fullbacks, like his involvements are really good, but he's probably too involved when he plays fullback.
Yeah.
You know, like
he's got a mistake in him. And
well, he's got plenty.
Yes. The more he touches the ball, the more chance of a mistake. I'm interested to see what you think of the Tongan team because definitely picked on form, but some players in some positions that they haven't played in quite a while. So whether they can gel quick enough, but we'll see. So we've got Toto Kula at fullback, the Manly centre. You've got another Manly centre, winger, we'll say, yeah. Christian Tuipulotu with Sione Katoa on the other wing, Will Penasini and Moses Suli in the centres. So if you look at those five, the most out of form of them would be Kula, and he has not been bad. He just hasn't been lighting the world on fire. So that means Katoni Staggs is at 5'8", with Talatau Amone at halfback, who has been struggling to inject himself into games at the NRL level at 5'8". And now he's at
his first consistency. Choice. Consistency has been his biggest issue. But yes, he's coming in off a strong game though, which would be good for his confidence. And I think coming into this environment with like, look at some of the forwards, we'll get to the forwards obviously, but look at some of the names in this squad, like that's just massive experience for him in itself.
Oh man, like you look at the New Zealand back five and then look at the Tongan back five and you go, man, this has got just points written all over. Like Katoa's scoring tries for fun. Tuipulotu's had, I think, two, maybe three multiple try games for Manly. Suli's playing, dare I say it, consistent well for him. Penasini's continued on from last year and been one of Parramatta's best. Katoni Staggs has just come off his Origin debut, albeit picking up an injury. So this is going to be an absolute awesome game. Just looking at the two back lines. And then we get to the forward pack. Adam Fanua Blake with Siosofa Takiaho with Silvila Havili at dummy half, who has been okay for South coming off the bench, albeit not in the dummy half role. And look at this back row. Satili Taupanua, Keon Kolomatangi, and Jason Tamalolo. Holy shit.
When Olakau'atu can't get a run in the starting team, that's a bloody good back row.
Like Olakau'atu and Kolomatangi, when they're both on, they're almost the same player with what they can do close to the line. Just run over and then carry people with them. So yeah, on the interchange, you got Sony Luke, Omola Olakau'atu, Tevita Totola, and Mo Fotowaka. Like these teams are massive. Like that's a bigger bench than the Kiwis, and they've got Asofa Solomona and Moses Leota because Niokora is smaller than Olakau'atu. So it's just and then you look at their reserves, Ofeen Gawi and Elise Katoa. both couldn't get a run. And Ofe Ngao is having his best season in like 4 or 5 years. So he's been, it's because he's playing for the Tigers, but he's playing so well for them this year. Who do you take?
Have you seen the odds for this game?
No, I have not. No.
The Kiwis are $1.25 favourites. $4 for Tonga.
$4. Holy jeez. Well, I was about to say, I'm going to go New Zealand based solely on the halves.
The spine, yep.
Yeah, and... Yeah, actually, yeah, the spine. Because, yeah, Smith over Havili, Manu over Kula. But the rest near enough cancel each other out for mine.
You can see Tonga winning this game, right?
Like yes.
They're not $4 outsiders. Maybe like $1.50 plays $2.50. But
yeah, that's what I was saying. Something like
I couldn't believe it when I saw this earlier. Yeah, but I'd have to go. I think New Zealand have got them matched in every position, or have them are in a better position. Like you said, that they can match them in the outside backs, they can match them in the forwards, and their spine is world class, really. That it might be Dylan Brown's debut, but he's probably been the form 5-8 of the season, to be fair. And Jerome Hughes is just getting better each year. So I think that's probably what's going to hurt Tonga is probably a lack of a kicking game, which I know it's going to be pretty free-flowing football and knocking the front door down with your forward. So they might not have to be kicking out of territory too much. But, I think that's probably where they do just fall behind a little bit. But it's going to be a cracker. It's going to be absolute fireworks.
And it's like back in New Zealand, and they haven't had a league game of any sort in a long time. And then getting this as the first one.
Surely this has to be close to a sellout.
Oh, it'd have to be. Like, this is I'm trying to say it's as good as New Zealand versus Australia with regards to maybe not quality all round, but just two pretty evenly matched teams bar the spine and two very
passionate. As a spectacle.
As a spectacle, yeah. It's going to be brilliant. Biggest game of Cooler's career. And he's playing it at fullback, definitely. So I'm interested as a Manly fan to see how he handles that. He hasn't really been in any high-stakes games for Manly, let's say, this season.
That's the exciting thing, right? Like, you see Cooler, you see Amone, who have showed a lot of promise in their limited time in first grade. They get thrown onto the international stage against world-class players.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, well, Cooler's going into his preferred position, and Amone's going in as the senior half, essentially. Like, it'll be really interesting to see how they go. And I hope they really go well. It's gonna be good. I think the camp's gonna be the best thing for them. Just being, like I said before, surrounded by players like Taumalolo, Fanua, Blake. Like, they're two great leaders. They're captains of their club. Just that experience in itself, and then the atmosphere, the war cries before the game, I think they're the sort of things that you love to see. And even to a Pulocho, like, that's, I'm really happy for him to get it right. Like, he's bounced around from the Roosters and played reserve grade for you guys for a long time, and he's finally
you can't take him out of the squad now. He's just
and
so you got co-captains Taumalolo and Takiaho leading the Tongans, and they are coached by Christian Wolf, but he's unavailable because he's a Super League coach with St. Helens, and they're still going in their comp, obviously. So Dean Young will be caretaker coach, where you got Michael Maguire for New Zealand.
I hope the Kiwis win just for Madge. He needs a win.
Yeah, he needs a win, please. I think he's getting a win every time the Tigers lose, to be fair. We need a whole pod just with what's going on at that club, but it's not going to be this one.
Yeah.
So, a game that could go a number of ways. So, Samoa, out of all the Pacific nations, has had the most controversy, I guess, with regards to their coaching setup, the high-profile bids of the Johns brothers and the dissatisfaction of Samoan players over the last couple of years with regards to how their country's rugby league programs are being run. In the end, it all stayed the same. So it's still Matt Parrish in charge. Panthers, Charlie Staines, Taylor May, Isaiah Targo, and Spencer Lino are all in there. And my feel-good story of the weekend will be Josh Schuster playing. He's spoken about his bond with Keith Titmus, who passed away. Manly Jr., they played together. Both of Samoan heritage. And he said this game's as much, well, more so about Titmus than it is for him. At least one of the two, this is one of the dreams they had together, was to play for Samoa together. And obviously that can't occur now. So really hoping Schuster has a good game based on that, win or lose. Jaden Sua, Martin Tapau, Francis Mola in the pack. So another big boys club there. And for the Cook Islands, yeah, he said three sets of brothers, Essen and Stephen Masters, Ruben and Vincent Rene, and Kale and Andre Iroh. So sons of Kiwi and Cook Islands, great Kevin Iroh. So Essen Masters and Pride Peterson Rabadi are the co-captains for the Cook Islands. But we'll go through, oh, geez, they've got Charlie Staines playing at fullback for Samoa. I know where the highballs are going. Taylor May and David Nofaluma on the wings with Isaac Targo, Jackson Paulo in the centres. Chanel Harris-Tavita and Anthony Milford in the halves. Tapau and Molo up front with Jazz Tavanga at dummy half. Schuster, Sua and Josh Aloi forming a pretty reasonable back three in the scrum. Famu Brown, Keenan Palacia, Spencer Linu and Bunty Afoa make up another massive bench. Matt Fengai, Ronald Volkman, and Toff Sipley in the reserves. Yeah, a good little reward there for Toff Sipley having a pretty good season for Manly when he's on the field. Not pretty inexperienced backline, you have to say. A lot's going to rest on Nofaluma bringing the ball back. It's not one of Charlie Staines' strengths. I wouldn't be surprised if they use Isaac Targo in that role as well at times. It'll be interesting how Jackson Paulo goes after a very up and down start to this season for the Rabbitohs.
I was really hoping that Matt Fee and I would get a run. He's been really good for us this year, considering, you know, he started the year in reserve grade essentially. Ramsey and Rabba were ahead of him and he's come in and he's been massive for us. The week that he missed when he was crook, we missed his carries out of the back half. Like he's so good at getting involved. And I know Taylor May and Nofaluma are two very good wingers, but I was hoping maybe you're right. Yeah, maybe someone moved to fullback and then there'd be in the spot for Fiona. But you know, this is a bit of an audition for Charlie Staines, isn't it? He's pushing to get a fullback spot somewhere. So it's a great opportunity. I mean, he's playing against Cook Islands, who are $21 outsiders. So, yeah, you're not going to get a better opportunity by the bookmakers anyway.
This is true. Well, let's go through the Cook Islands squad here. So you've got Kaelin Iroh at fullback, Stephen Masters and Malachi Morgan on the wings, Anthony Gelling and Ruben Rene, centers, SN Masters playing 5'8" with Reese Joyce. Vincent Rene and Tiniaro Arona at prop, Aaron Tiroi at dummy half, Brendan Piakura, Pride Peterson Rabadi, and Xavier Wilson playing at lock. So he's a prop in the Broncos system, very highly rated, coming back off a pretty severe leg injury, I believe. I can't remember if it was a broken leg.
Was it his ACL?
Yeah. Hasn't played for the Broncos this season. I think he's got four games under his belt overall. Jeff Daniela, Moses Nuvu McGreal, David Mowali, and Makaheshi Makatoa make up the interchange. I was a little surprised when the fixtures came out that we didn't have Cook Islands versus maybe Papua New Guinea and Samoa versus Fiji. Cook Islands are going to play with Pride, passion, family, all that. in the back of their minds, but so Samoa. And Samoa's just got too much NRL experience across the board. And their bench, they're not going to lose anything in their forward pack when the bench comes on as well. Like Lenu, Afoa, Palacia are all starting for their teams at the moment, I believe. Palacia's always coming off the bench. But, yeah, they're not going to take a backward step once their bench is rotated. $21 is
extravagant.
I'd say a touch extravagant. I was going to say unfair, but I think that's a bit too strong the other way. So,
yeah.
Smell for me.
It'll be an entertaining game nonetheless.
That's a good word. Let's go entertaining. And that brings us to the final international game of the weekend. PNG versus Fiji. So this one's, I should have said, this is also a doubleheader. Samoa and Cook Islands, 5:40 p.m. at Campbelltown, and then PNG, 7:50 at Campbelltown. So for Papua New Guinea, Alex Johnson at fullback with Robert Darby and Terry Wapi on the wings, David Mead and Justin Olam in the centres. And David Mead's announced that this will be his final test match. He's not going to go on to the World Cup later in the year. This will be his final game. And wants to thank everything that BNG people, BNG Rugby League has given to him. Having Justin Olam as your centre partner in your final game couldn't be two more different styles of player, I'd say. Kyle Labutt and Lachlan Lamb in the halves here. Apple Kapanias, Sylvester Namo at prop with Watuvo Puara, a dummy half. Dan Russell, Nixon Put, second row with Jacob Ehlik at lock. Liam Horn, Emmanuel Wane, Mackenzie Yai, and Dilbert Isaac on the interchange. Have fun, commentators. For Fiji, dang, talking about exciting backlines. Tania Taruva at fullback, Mikalat Ravalawa and Micah Sivo on the wings with Semi Valemi and Wanga Blake in the centres. Kevin Nagama at 5'8 with Natua Masima at halfback. A lot of points and a lot of mistakes in that back line. They are going to throw the ball
for a hat trick.
Yeah, it could be a hat trick for both Sivo and Ravalawa.
Tell you what, you wouldn't want to be making the first three tackles of the set, would you? Like, get a kick away. The fullback catches it. Looks left. They'll be like, oh, I've got Sivo. I've got Ravalawa. which one do I want to run over the top of the five people?
How big is this Taruva? I haven't seen him before. I'm not
too sure.
Imagine if he's bigger than both of them. I'm going to give their forward back my best go with regards to reading out the names, but we'll see. Joseph Ratu Kaverivalu. Tui Kamakamika at prop with Tagatuma at dummy half. Viliami Kikau, Taniela Sag Rugu, and Tane Milne at lock. Thank you, Tane, for having a nice simple name. Tane Milne at lock. Isaac Lumi, Pio Secchi, Lamar Manuel, Leolave, and Kalen Miller on the interchange. Tane Milne at lock. That's interesting. I didn't see that one coming.
He's a pretty solid boy, to be fair.
Defensive workload. I don't think I've ever seen him make that many tackles. Well,
I don't think there'll be much ball playing, mate. I think they'll just be run hard, tackle hard, go off, have a break, and then come back on. He's an aggressive bloke too. He'd love the middle. He'd love the middle, I reckon.
Yeah, true. It's this is why international matches are so cool, because this Fiji team is such a mix of players with such differing play styles. Like Kikau's developed into just a hard running edge back rower who can throw a soft little pass here and there. And then you've just got this back line of monsters in the back three. And then you've got two centers in Wanga Blake and Semi Valemi, who Wonga Blake hasn't tackled anything in his life, the Lemmy's just still developing. Like,
so it's going to be a dangerous left edge for Fiji. They're going to have Kikau, Wonga Blake, and Sivo.
Oof.
That doesn't appeal to me. And yeah.
What's a tackle?
As a defender. No, no, no. A defender, yeah. Yeah, as a
defender. No, thanks. Oh, man. This is going to be fun. Fiji should win it, but there's just something about how PNG play and the fact that PNG Hunters are in the Q Cup and have just been getting top-level rugby league now for two straight seasons. And having Justin Olam come from the Melbourne system, David Mead's last game, Alex Johnson at fullback, obviously they are going to put in. Lachlan Lamb hasn't been getting the game time that he was seeing last year as well. So who knows, they could. What's the odds on this one? I'm assuming Fiji are the favourites.
Yeah, I think it's like $1.20 to $4.25 or something like that. It's a pretty big discrepancy. Like Fiji were massive favourites.
Yeah, okay.
$1.25 plays $4.
Yeah, all right. Okay. I can say that. I think that's a lot more understandable than New Zealand Tonga odds. Considering, I think the last time we had international games, Tonga beat New Zealand, England and Australia all in the same year. Within five games, actually. Lots changed in 2 years, but it was done. All right, and then that brings us to Sunday and State of Origin 2 in Perth, 7:50 p.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time. So if you've got kids, keep them up. Game starts at 8 o'clock. The only upside for Queensland is it's school holidays the next day. It's ridiculous still starting that late, but TV talks, unfortunately. I've been looking forward to talking about this game because we said it after game one. Well, I said it before game one, that it looked as though Fittler was literally making his job harder than it needed to be, not sticking to what had worked for him the previous 3 out of 4 years, and just picking a squad, sticking loyal to them, and form not being the driving factor in selections. And I thought he overthought game one. And half the changes he's made for this game were people that were players that were in the squad last year that were expected to be picked, and now they've been picked in game two when New South Wales is in trouble. So why not just pick them to start with, kind of thing. I don't know what it does to the squad, whether players feel like, well, if we don't perform well, are we going to be even in game three or here next year, considering he's changing his mind again? The other side of things, they only lost by 6 points and they had two tries disallowed. So any other day, if those two tries were allowed, New South Wales would have been winners. So for a 6-point deficit, it's a lot of changes to be made.
Overreaction. Absolute overreaction.
But that's the thing. Didn't pick him game one. If he'd stuck with his guns from the previous year, Crichton and Trbojevic still would have been in the squad. And it would have been like maybe two changes. But
would that have changed the result in game one?
Having Crichton there and
Trbojevic instead of Madison and Campbell Gillard. I'm saying no. Campbell Gillard was their second best forward.
Yeah, I don't know why he was even out. And then Damien Cook being dropped to the interchange.
They cannot tell me that that is not just a blueprint of copying exactly what Queensland did.
Yeah.
There's no way that they can't say that.
No, they've literally matched up what worked for Queensland. Let's do the same thing. And that was his blueprint for getting New South Wales back on track after Queensland's 8 straight, was pick a young squad with talent, experienced players in key positions, and stick loyal to them, show faith in them, and look and let it build over time. And he threw all that out the window for game one. And now he's run back to it. And I don't even know what to make of this team at the moment. I stand by, and I'm going to sound like a hypocrite based on what I said 3 minutes ago. I stand by Trbojevic not earning his spot this year. I don't see him making a big difference in the game. He has played well for Manly the last two games since he wasn't picked for game one, but rushing him in for the sake of rushing him in isn't the right reason to be selecting him, if that makes sense. If Trbojevic was going to be there, he should have been there from the start of the series in the squad for the whole thing, and you use him if you need to. He's not the sort of form that you rush him in and he's going to flip the whole game script.
So I think they've completely missed the point, right? Like, they lost the middle, and it wasn't because of their defense. It was because they had no one getting through the line other than Payne Haas. And what have they done? They've taken Campbell Gillard out, who was their second most meters of any of their forwards, I think. And they replaced him with Jake Trbojevic, who is another ball playing forward. The issue with their attack
and a defensive specialist.
The issue they had in the first game was they had too many people trying to finesse the ball around instead of just trying to knock the front door down, get on the front foot, and then let Cook and Tedesco and Cleary and Luai just play off the back of that. They're just trying to – they've overcomplicated things, I think. And honestly, I said it to you boys after they announced the team, and I'll probably end up eating my words, but as soon as I saw the team and the changes, I was so confident as a Queenslander. I don't get it. Like, they've made – I know Jack Whiten was a forced one, but other than that, they probably only needed to make two changes. They had to right their wrong by not playing Crichton in the first game. Unlucky for Stags, I don't think he did much wrong, but I could live with that. And probably replacing Tarek Sims. Yeah, he didn't do much wrong either, but he wasn't breaking the game open. So, yeah, start Cam Murray and then bring on another bench forward that can actually punch through the line. But they haven't done that with any – they haven't done that with any of their changes. I don't see that they've brought any game breakers into the game.
Bringing Jordan McLean into the squad, I saw a lot of people hitting back on that. McLean's having his best year he's had in since he's been at the Cowboys, but it's not origin form level. The hit back I saw wasn't and most of the hit back I saw was McLean's crap. What is he even still in the league sort of thing? Like, no, he's not crap. he's playing really well, but not enough for origin. If the hit back was, yeah, he's playing really well, but he's not quite origin level. Yeah, I'd understand that. But the fact that people are saying, man, he's shit, he hasn't been good for rah-rah. He's having a good year. But yes, and
yeah, origin is, selection but...
puts him in an odd position for him because now he's gonna cop it. He's gonna cop it regardless.
It's a stupid selection for mine. Yeah. Like,
and that's Campbell Gillard going out.
Yeah, he's 30 going on 31, I think, McLean, or however old he is. I know that's still not that old, but he's been away from the representative scene for so long. He's had three lean years of footy. Yeah, he's having a better year this year, but is that just because the Cowboys are having a better year, so therefore it's making him look better? I don't think he's not the damaging forward that he used to be. He just does a job now. He's not. I know, and it's probably they were never going to pick him to play. I don't think he's probably just in there more so for experience. He's been around the game for a long time, but how he is a better option than Campbell Gillard. Campbell Gillard on the weekend, Clemmer. Like, yeah, exactly. Why wouldn't you bring Clemmer in? Who? If he wasn't going to play, he's been around Origin before. He's experienced losses. He's experienced wins. Like, that's someone you could probably use in the squad. It's an odd selection for me. So is Victor Radley in the extended squad. And I know it's extended squad and it's just about having people there for the week. But I don't know. It just feels like for a shorter preparation, it's only a 1 week preparation. Yeah. It's a 1 week preparation, so you lose 3 days, right? Compared to a standard origin and they've made 7 or 8 changes.
Yeah.
Well, maybe actually, what, there's only been 5 to the actual 17, I should say. I'll correct myself there.
But still a lot.
Yeah. Anyway, you know. Well, we could be proven wrong. Look, the same thing happens. The same thing happened in 2019. Like we won game one in a close one, and then Fittler made like 7 changes, and they blew us off the park in Perth. Yeah. So, I could be sitting here this time next week and just copping it from Jared for what I've said, and you know I will. But I'm not concerned about the changes they've made as a Queenslander.
I could make three changes straight up in New South Wales that would make me much more worried as a Queenslander than I'm glad they didn't do.
And no, that'd be the first one you're gonna say.
Who? Olicar to
Adokar.
Oh, Adokar, and that was the third one. But Adokar in the squad, Clemmer in the squad, Olicardo in the squad, or in the team.
Olakawatu put his allegiance to Tonga, though.
Was that before he got selected or after?
Yeah, so he came out and said that he, before the teams were announced, he said that he wants to play for Tonga.
Oh, okay. Kalamatangi. So, There you go. I said in the last one, with people getting on Payne Haas, Liam Martin and Damien Cook were the only two 80-minute forwards. Payne Haas was 60 minutes. Liam Martin was on there for 80 minutes, and I didn't even know he was on the field. He did nothing, in my opinion.
The only time I noticed him was very early in the game, and Cleary put him through a yawning gap, and he spilt it.
He's not.
Brandy came out on during the week after the teams were named, saying how well Liam Martin played in game one. I'm like, I didn't even notice the boy. By that one error, didn't even know he was on the field.
He's a toiler sort of player, which you need, but not in a strike position.
See, I would have been more concerned if I had a big Frizzell
on it. Yeah, yes. Yeah.
And not that Frizzell's a great hole runner or anything, but he's got that leg speed.
The drive, and the size. Just
doesn't die wondering on a play, though. He just keeps going. And anyway.
So I'm glad he's there. Queensland, only changes they made were forced with Xavier Coates out and also Cotter. So straight up switch for Cotter was Jai Arrow, and there was two options around whether he'd just go straight to starting lock or whether Tino would be moved from prop to lock. End up moving Tino from prop to lock and brought Lindsay Collins on to start at prop. And Murray Talangi comes in for a straight switch for Xavier Coates. So backline for Queensland stays the same with Ponga, Cobo, Holmes, Gagai, Munster and Cherry Evans, with Talangi coming in on the wing. Ben Hunt still there at starting dummy half. Caitlin Kafusi starting. And the bench now is Harry Grant, Jai Arrow, Pat Carrigan and Jeremiah Nanai. Little note here, both Fermor and Corey Oates come in on the reserves, replacing Hamid Alfidau and who am I missing?
Fermor came in for, or Jai Arrow came into the starting team, so
Fermor took his spot. Essentially, and Corey Oates came in because, Talangi moved up. Was Reece Walsh Holmes there last time? Switch for Alfidau.
I think Reece Walsh was additional cover. He was probably for Hammer, to be fair.
Yeah. Tom Dion, Tom Flegler is still there. So the Queensland squad, while there's two new personnel, the makeup of the squad's largely unchanged. I get my Tino at lock, so I'm happy about that. I'm not surprised it wasn't in the selections, but I would not be surprised with a Pat Carrigan starting and Papali coming off the bench. He was very quiet in Origin. He was very quiet for Canberra in the game following Origin. And he came off the bench for Canberra in that game as well. And it's not like Papali to put two games together in a row where you literally don't even know he's on the field. He was so minimally involved. But in saying that, he's the type of player who he's going to be his own harshest critic, I'd say. He's probably going to fire himself up like only he can. more of the same in Queensland?
I don't see any late changes to the team. I think I don't think Billy Slater's one to play games. I think he knows his best 17, and that's what he's going to roll with.
Come on,
no, I'm just saying you're not Billy Slater. Yeah. I know that's hard to believe. Ruben Cotter's a big loss.
It is. Isn't it funny that we're saying that after one game?
Oh, but like it's a bloke that plays 80 minutes. He made 50 tackles and 16 hit ups. Like that's hard to replace. And I know you can't replace that in one player. Oh, yeah. And that's
I think Joey Arrow can do that. That's what he made his living on. That's why I was surprised but he just goes
doesn't quite play the same pace as Ruben Cotter.
Yeah, that's a difference there.
Yeah, but I think the big thing Slater will do is he's not going to send Lindsay Collins in to start and be like, you have to now be Ruben Cotter. He'll find a way to share the load across the forward pack. And if that means you look at it, Papali'i played 21 minutes in game one. So we've got another 20 minutes up our sleeve there. Tino can play big minutes. He's proven it.
Arrow can play 80 if he needed to.
Carrigan will just come on and do the same thing. He'll come on after 15, 20 minutes and play the rest of the game.
Mm-hmm.
I think we'll miss Collins' punch off the bench. That's why I would have been probably tempted to start Arrow, and because the bench worked so well for us last time, right? Like they just laid a perfect platform for Harry Grant when he came on. I don't know if Arrow quite has the same impact, but
there could be a switch there, Arrow for Collins.
I'd prefer Arrow to start at lock or prop, and then have Collins keep the bench exactly the same. That 1-2 punch of Collins and Carrigan worked really well. So people are talking about switching Ben Hunt and Harry Grant, but I don't know why you'd do that. Harry Grant broke the game open with the bench.
And good, it's good reward for both Fermor to get in there in a Titan squad that's been largely underperformed. He and Tino have been their two best. While we talked more about the players who came in for New South Wales, we didn't talk about the actual makeup now of the squad with Coruscant starting and Cook coming off the bench. It's been a fair while since Cook's played that role. It may spark life in New South Wales. It literally may also just be cover for Queensland. But if they make that change while New South Wales is on the front foot, I'll be worried as a Queensland supporter. Cook coming on fresh if New South Wales is on top. Talakai on the bench. He's been playing exclusively centre this year. He's played a lot of second row, of course, in the past. Interesting. It's kind of like everything about the Jeremiah Nanai selection, I guess, except Nanai's been in stronger form consistently.
Well, Talakai can play more positions, I guess, so that gives him that flexibility, especially if a half goes down, they can push Burton in and Talakai can play centers. But I think they've missed the jump on him. Like 4 or 5 weeks ago, he was in unbelievable form, but I don't know if he's just a reflection of the Sharks' form, which has been all over the shop. It just doesn't concern me. I don't see how he's going to come on and break the game open. The only way he could is if they put him on an edge and he was running out of Gagai or something like that. But because he gave Gagai an absolute bath when they played earlier in the year. But this doesn't faze me, Talakai on the bench. I just don't see with the physicality of our forwards, I don't see that he's going to be running over the top of any of them. I'm just very comfortable with where we're at as a Queensland team.
You're like my comfort blanket. I can never be that confident in Origin without like our models that we've had in the past, but you're a comfort blanket. Well, I like that. Yeah. All right. And just to finish up with this one, I just want to talk about Burton in the centres and Hines at 18. With Coruscant coming in and Cook being at 14, I think the difference with Hunt and Arrow compared to Coruscant and Cook is Coruscant and Cook are legitimate dummy halves. That's their positions, and they have little to no experience of playing in the halves or elsewhere. Whereas Hunt, we know, can cover 5'8", dummy half. He's even played lock for Queensland because he's sound defensively. But I don't think that Coruscant-Cook partnership has the flexibility of Hunt and Grant. Yet you've got Nicho Hynes sitting there at 18, who we know can play fullback, centre, halfback, 5'8". Burton's played 5'8", centre. Wouldn't you, like, instead of just trying to cover what Queensland's done, giving yourself a bit more of an advantage there and either drop Cook completely and throwing a Hynes in if you want to make that dummy half change, or
I think
keep Coruscant out, put Cook in there, have Hynes at 14, or even have Burton at 14, and dare I say, I wouldn't really want Talakai in the centres if I'm New South Wales, but considering they've had so much depth in their backs, all of a sudden there's not really one there.
I think they've covered themselves well enough just in case there are injuries. So if a half does go down, they don't have to rely on Cook or Coruscant. They can put Burton there, and then they've got Talakai to slot into the centres. Or
that's what I mean. Like, is that good enough?
I think so. I agree. I don't agree with Cook not playing 80 minutes. Like, he's the fittest hooker in the comp. You never see Cook out of breath, right? He's a beach sprinter, mate. He's fit. And
never heard that.
No, I don't understand. Like, late in the game, he was carving us out of dummy half. They had the roll on him, and Tedesco were just absolutely killing us. It's a waste of a position. But in relation to your question, I think they've covered themselves enough with the flexibility of their squad that they can shuffle enough people around, but it's probably too much shuffling in my opinion. Whereas you could have a Hynes. I would have just not picked Coruscant. I would have kept Cook at 9.
Yeah.
Hynes at 14.
Yeah.
And then Hynes can, like, he's played off the bench before for Melbourne.
Yeah.
He can float around the middle. He can,
yes.
He can literally play pretty much every position on the field.
And he doesn't overplay his hand. He's in a first season as a halfback, he's making like 8 out of 10 good decisions, 8 out of 10 of the correct decisions. And the ones where he's not making the right one, you can at least see what he's trying to do, and he just didn't execute. I would be much more concerned as a Queenslander if Hynes was in their 17. I was so excited when I thought, oh man, there's a chance that Hynes will play Origin. We need someone like him, knowing that he'd played for the Sunny Coast Falcons and went to Melbourne. It just seemed like a Queenslander. And they went, oh, fuck, he's New South Wales as well. I'm so much less concerned of Coruscant than I would be of Hynes, just being on the field. Burton at centre, we know how good he was for Penrith the previous year. It's you're pretty much looking at what five of the seven of Penrith's backline from their grand final victory, with Cleary, Luai, Crichton, Burton, and Tuo, just missing Dylan Edwards and
Momorowski. He's nowhere near
it. Yeah, Momorowski. Here we go.
He's playing New South Wales Cup.
Yeah, there you go, man. Brilliant. So. He's talented enough to kind of slot straight back into there.
Yeah, Burton fits the same billing as Jack White. He's a 5'8", left side dominant, good runner, can fill in at left centre, ends overrated.
There it is. Oh, man. That last one sounded like a honk.
I don't get the hype on Burton, eh? I think he's a product of being on the back of a really good Penrith backline, and this year he's just been, I know he's only young still, but he's got two dimensions to his game. He can kick the ball and he can run it, and that's essentially what he's going to be picked for, and they'll find ways to get him space. But all these kicks, like, you watched him, I don't know if you saw the game where he played the Dogs, we put pressure on his kicking game and he had an absolute shocker with the boot. He's kicking him out in the full, kicking him straight down our throat.
That wasn't Luke Brooks, was it?
No, it wasn't Luke Brooks. But like, it's just, you saw the pressure that Queensland put on Nathan Cleary, as if they, like, Matt Burton's a secret weapon, like no one's seen his kicking game before. I'm pretty sure if he's anywhere near the ball on Mark's tackle, Queensland will be putting some pressure on him, seriously. But yeah, in saying all this, I'm still going to be on him for first try scorer and any time try scorer, because any left centre matching up on Dane Gagai at the moment, it's looking pretty threatening to score a try.
That is unfortunately true if you're a Queensland supporter. It sounds like you've got Queensland pretty convincingly, but at least Queensland, like, confidently. Sorry, I should have said
Queensland by 10. I got Queensland by 10.
All right, Queensland by 10. I already hate myself for this, but I have a gut feeling of New South Wales, which I hate. I'm obviously hoping against anything for a Queensland 2-0. Victory. And as much as we bag New South Wales, there's just something about Origin that sometimes has its way of leveling out when there's two teams that are
they'll improve.
And they only have to improve by 6 points. But I also think there's enough. There's a lot of areas Queensland could improve as well.
Thank you for tuning in to Six Again. Connect with the show on Twitter, Instagram, and the Six Again website. All links via the show's bio.